Hello, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Navigate with FFA. It's such an honor to have you here again today. Thank you so very much. It's amazing. As I travel around the globe, I meet a lot of you. Thank you for showing me so much love. Thank you for wrapping your arms around me. Thank you for letting me know that you have been blessed. I'm so grateful. Right away, I wanted to please share, 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 share. Share, because today is going to be very, hey, fire, fire, fire. My guest is in the house. I'd like you to please know that life is not governed by miracles. Life is governed by principles. And one of the most powerful, unchangeable principles of life is found in the Word of God, Genesis 8:22. While the earth remaineth, seed, time, harvest shall not cease. If you don't want to reap it, do not sow it. Whatever you do today will be history tomorrow. Therefore, that's my opening remark. If you do not want to reap it, do not sow it. Welcome, everybody. Today is fantastic, fantabulous. Today is fantabulous. Please invite your friends, invite everyone, your family members. I see you from different parts of the globe, and I'm honored. Let me not start mentioning the names of your countries now. I see your flags. I see everything. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of what is happening tonight again. Navigate with FFA. Please share, 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 share. God bless you. Share. Share so we can hit the ground running. Thank you. Thank you. I'm reading and I'm nodding. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I refuse to be tempted to mention the names of your countries. Let me just use this opportunity to thank Sierra Leone. Wow. I just came back yesterday from Sierra Leone. Awesome people, great people. I'm glad that I was able to pray for your country. We trust the Lord that great things will continue to happen. Thank you, everyone. Tonight, my guest, as I have advertised, is a family life strategist. Yes. He's not only a therapist, he's a strategist. Because, prevention, they say, is always better than cure. A lot is going on. My inbox is full. I've canceled and canceled and canceled. Now, I'm not a pastor, I'm a pastor's wife. There's a limit. Therefore, I have decided to bring a professional to come and teach us. And I'm all ears. I have my pen ready, ready, and ready, and my ears ready. And thank God this will be, recorded. I have as my guest tonight, Mr. Praise Fowowe. This man uses money to laugh. That's the meaning of his name in my dialect. He's such a blessing, a profound. I saw a comment when I posted, someone said, oh, he's a powerful speaker, an orator. It's a blessing of God, so he can use it to communicate what God has put on his inside. It's an honor to have you here tonight, Praise. Thank you for doing this
Thank
again.
you.
Thank you for being passionate to just touch lives, to just help people. And
Thank
thank you
you.
for going the extra mile, not just to speak as a minister of the gospel or as a Christian, because it's a global, family. We have Muslims here, we have Buddhists here, we have different kinds of people from around the world. Thank you for putting a professional touch to your life.
Thank you.
And I'm honored to be sharing this platform with you today.
Thank you.
Your opening remark, because before I introduce the topic for tonight.
Okay, thank you very much, Mommy, for inviting me. I am, first of all, a son. Before anything, before any professionalism, I mean, way back from school, I attend Agape. So I know what you've done for humanity and what you continue to do for all of us. We're always proud wherever we see you. That's why, I mean, whenever you're in town, I'm eager to come. I want us to know that there is no problem that doesn't have a solution. If human beings can think, as Africans, I know that we pray a lot, and I pray, but I think we need to add a lot of thinking because, like Mommy rightly said, many things are preventable. And that's why I say that they say love is blind, but I say that love must now hire binoculars so that you can see from afar. Because if you're blind, you can be blinded into what you didn't bargain for. But there is always a way out if you can find the right professional to work with. So don't feel hopeless or helpless. Help is here. And I believe that today God is going to help us get to the root of some of the things we're dealing with and begin to channel our way forward into what we need to begin to pay attention to wherever we are. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Powerful, powerful opening remark. Ooh, adultery. It's one word people don't want to hear in marriage or in the world. Hey, no, no. In Jesus' name, I bind. Really? Today, we are going to shatter the tables. I mean, really shatter. And then praise will now help us to and teach us how to rebuild adultery, causes, prevention, and healing. The floor is yours, praise. And I'm not going to interrupt because I also want to learn. If there's any question, whether online or I have it, I'll jot it down. But for the next 1 hour thereabout, the floor is yours. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to be sharing with our people today. So I am going to be sharing this. I've put up a slide so that it's easy for me to be able to effectively moderate this and share within the time frame, because this is one subject that I have been researching in the last 5 years of my life. And I'm trying to understand why people, do what they do. And I'm trying to look at it from a dispassionate perspective without any bias in my mind. So I want you all to, take the posture of a student who is willing to learn. Because some things may not go the way you have been taught, right? But open your mind a little bit. And I tell you that the best part of the message is the final slide, which was the research we did in 2018, and I'll tell you what exactly that research shows. Now, when we mention the subject of adultery, I do premarital counseling for people regularly. And one of the questions I ask is, what happens if one of you cheats on each other? And usually what I hear is, over my dead body, it will not happen. It must not happen, right? And so I smile when they say that, because I always say to people that, I would rather prepare for the worst and expect the best than prepare for the best and the worst now begins to happen. Yeah. That oftentimes we do not like to be truthful to ourselves and understand the tendency that is a human tendency, right? And so I always say that adultery is not an African affair. It's a global affair. Gone are the days when people would say, it's Africans who do this. No, I work and I practice in the United States of America, and I can tell you, a whole lot that is happening even here. Now, so I am going to be explaining a few thoughts with us. And I love to start with my fundamental thoughts. Please, admin, if you can help me with my slide, that would be fantastic. Now, I love this scripture, and it's a scripture that governs my practice. That's why oftentimes when a problem occurs in Nigeria or any part of the world, my first default is to keep quiet and not take any sides, because I am not professionally permitted to take sides, because I'm standing between the living and the dead, right? And so, in the book of Isaiah, he was talking about Christ, and he says, a broken reed, he will not break, and a smoking flax, he will not quench. Now, that's two-sided. How can you say don't break a broken reed and don't quench a smoking flax? It's almost as if you are biased. It's almost as if you are not taking a position, right? And I see Mommy Adejumo do that consistently, where she just wants to help. And people think that you are compromised because you want to help. Truth is, we all have different areas we struggle with. So what I see consistently is the person who lies feels sad about his lie until he meets the thief. The moment he meets the thief, he begins to say, oh, wow, I am just lying. I'm better than this thief. The thief feels bad until he meets the person who is dealing with sexuality issues, right? And say, oh, wow, me, I'm just still, you know, at least I'm not fornicating. That one feels bad until he meets another person who has a bigger issue. And that's the way our world is framed, that we treat ourselves with empathy, but we don't mind treating others with judgment. And so I am not going to stand here and take a position that is judgmental because of my background and where I'm coming from. I mean, if you know my story, it's all over the media. I talk about it all the time. I know exactly what it took to get me here. I know the seasons of rising and falling over the years, you know, and how consistently, I mean, when I used to be on campus, before I got saved, and I used to deal with sex addiction. And I remember even after I got saved, and I had to tell God severally, God, kill me if I do this again. And before I knew it, 48 hours, I was back doing it. So I am naturally trained and I'm naturally built to empathize with people, to understand what they are doing. So when things happen, you can look at it and say, what is it doing? If all you are focused on is work, what will come out is judgment. But if you are focused on why and how, why takes you to the root cause, how shows you the pattern that is responsible for that behavior? Because there's a pattern to everything you're doing. They say there's a method to every madness. So there is a pattern to whatever you're doing. Unfortunately, not many of us can see the pattern. Not many of us can see the issues. But I am trained as a professional to see exactly what is going on. I mean, if you can keep my slide permanently in there, that would be better for me, right? So that I can move as fast as I can. Now, you need to understand a bit of things when we talk about adultery. And I'm going to be sharing a couple of fundamental truths. And I love the fact that when a woman was brought to Jesus and they say the law says, let us kill him or kill her, Jesus did not say, I mean, if he had said he that has not committed adultery, cast the stone, she would have been dead. But he took it a notch higher that he that is without sin, cast the stone. Now, I am not going to be addressing this matter on behalf of those who are not ready to change, because I know there's a group of people who don't even see anything wrong with anything again. They have signed. Those are not the people I'm talking about. I'm talking about those are the people who are struggling and they want help. Now, so I'll share a couple of fundamental truths. Number one, adultery is very real. Very, very real. In fact, it's closer than you can imagine. And I'm going to be sharing data with you that shows exactly what is happening across the globe. Number two, adultery is preventable, but when it happens, there is a way out. You can prevent it. The default is not for you to even get into adultery, especially for those of you who get married into one man, one woman. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about that, because what data is showing, and we ran the data, I mean, we have not concluded it. So, and that was why I didn't want to come and take the topic until we were done. But one of the things we began to find out is, there are so many people who believe in polygamy, but they are getting into monogamy simply because of what people would say. And I'm going to talk about that because of what people would say, we have not created an environment where people are very honest with themselves. The truth is, if a guy wants to marry a woman today and he says to the woman, as I want to marry you, I am going to marry four other women, right? If there is full disclosure, then it becomes a choice to get into that relationship. And that is a possibility. I know there are so many cultures where that happens. I'm going to show you from data. In fact, there are cultures today on the planet, and it's been for years, where a woman can actually tell a man she wants to get married to that. You know what? I'm going to do practice polyandry. So which means I'm going to have like four husbands. If there is full disclosure, it prevents many of the things we are dealing with. Right. So it's preventable. But when it happens, there's always a way out. Number three, adultery doesn't just happen. There are several factors at work that we may need to pay attention to beyond what we think is right and wrong. Many of us live in the realm of right and wrong. But I can tell you there are a bit of a step higher called peace and progress. So in my work and in my observation and research, I have discovered that when adultery happens, it's so easy for people to say, oh, you know, it's because it's a non-Christian. It's because, you know, it's Cana. It's because it's not a believer. But we know believers who are dealing with this, who are struggling. We know people who teach who are dealing with this, right? And so you cannot say it's not because they are praying or because they are not reading their Bible. They are reading the Bible. They know the truth. you know, there is what we call learned helplessness. Learned helplessness is the situation where you hate what is being done to you, but you can't stop it. I'll give an example. There's a lady who told me that she was, she was in the bus one day in Nigeria, and a guy actually stretched his hand and began to fondle her breast. Right. She hated what the guy was doing. She wanted to kill him, but she said she couldn't. She couldn't even say anything. Now, somebody would have looked at that lady and say she was enjoying it. No, she was in a state of learned helplessness where she's been totally programmed and scripted to enjoy what she ate and not being able to stop it. So it's beyond right and wrong. And that's why not every lady you see out there that you say is sleeping around is a flirt or something like that. There is more. In my days of working with commercial sex workers in Nigeria, that was the first job I did from school, 300 of them. I see this girl sleep with 11 men every day to break even. And I knew firsthand from the field that the reason for prostitution is not just economic gain. It's not just poverty. Because for somebody to spread a lap for 11 men every day, it means that something has gone wrong with her identity, which means she doesn't exist and people think she exists because she can still talk. So her identity has been stolen. And when I got deeper into working with those girls, over 300 of them, I never met one who was not sexually molested as a child. So which means, because one of the advanced effects of abuse is that you stop seeing yourself as a being that must be respected, you start seeing yourself as a thing that must be used. Now, next, adultery is one of the leading causes for separation and divorce among couples globally. In fact, data shows that very, very few people will forgive adultery fully, even in their process of coming together. Right, and I'm going to show you that shortly. Now, however, I must say this. There is no known data to show that men cheat more than women. What has happened is that men cheating is more reported than women cheating, because a lot of women actually cheat. In fact, latest data globally puts it at 60-40. There are some that put it at 50-50. In fact, there is a new data that says that 60% for women and 40% for men. I don't know where they got that from. But it's almost like very, very, very close. So adultery is a human problem. It's not a particular gender problem. Right. Now, adultery is what happens when there's physical contact. So I need to help you understand that there's a difference between adultery and infidelity, even though we use both together. Now, I was talking to one of my lawyers, yesterday while preparing for this session. And she said to me that, Praise, do you know that adultery is very difficult to prove in court? That if you take adultery case to court, they will need to check whether there is camera, whether you have pictures, whether you have images, and blah, 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 blah. But inside, infidelity is different. Now, I knew that there's a difference because adultery, if you check all the definition for adultery, all they talk about is sexual intercourse. But we know that sometimes it's not sexual intercourse, and that is infidelity. Now, infidelity, infidelity, on the other hand, is what happens when there is either physical or emotional contact. Now, so if you take adultery case to court, for example, right, you need to understand that you will need to do a lot of proving, but if it's infidelity, it involves both. Now, interesting thing is, if we talk about adultery as sexual intercourse alone, now, and we say, oh, this is cheating on me with her, because we're always looking for another woman. But in some cases, there is no woman at all. It can be cheating with girls online who don't even know him through pornography. Right? In fact, he can be, or she can be practicing exhibitionism, right? And so there are many things happening that is on your blind spot that you don't even consider as cheating. So people are looking for, who is that girl? Who is that man? What it may be, or she may be dealing with, may be more lethal than even a human being, right? So follow me carefully on this journey. So what is adultery really? Adultery is defined, check all definitions, they're all the same. Now, I have a bit of a challenge with their definitions, then I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. Adultery is extramarital sex that is considered objectionable on social, religious, moral, and legal grounds. And that's why you would see people who are non-Christians, will be caught on cheating, adultery, globally at some level of positions across the world in developed countries, and they have to resign. Right, I know that in Africa nobody resigns. Nobody resigns. In fact, people will say okurimeta, but in some parts of the world, there was a coach who was found to be having an affair. He was forced to, he had to, in fact, he wasn't forced, he had to resign, right? So it means that it's not just a spiritual matter, it's also a legal, social, you know, and moral issues. Now, if you check the, an interesting thing is, when I'm doing my research, I try to look for the etymology of every word I'm using. Now, the interesting thing about the word adultery, right, is the French word adultery, which evolved from the Latin word adulterare. Now, what does it mean? It actually means to corrupt. The verb adulterate, to debase, or to make impure by adding inferior material or element. That's so profound that you make inferior what is authentic by adding some other element. And I think this is so profound. I mean, in my study, when I saw this, I was like, oh, wow, this is even deeper than I thought. So if you have something that is good that is going on, and you now add something to it, and that's why maybe usually when you observe the people are cheating with or something, they are not as good oftentimes as their spouses or something like that, right? So so adultery and infidelity are not the same. I mentioned that. While adultery is purely sexual contact, infidelity can be physical or emotional. The limitation of this definition, however, all the definitions I've been given for infidelity and adultery, is that it does not cover self-service. Self-service is people can be cheating, you know, with themselves. And I've seen that in practice where this person says, I don't want my spouse to touch me. I am comfortable touching myself. Now, that is part of cheating, but that will not be classified as adultery. In fact, you just say she's shut down. Meanwhile, she's doing self-service. She's defrauding a spouse of a body, or is defrauding the spouse of a body. In fact, I know cases where a lady told her husband, I know you're a Christian, you want to make heaven, and you're not going to make heaven. You are not going to cheat on me. So every year, at the beginning of the year, she calls the husband and says, can you pick your 3 days for the year? Right? So pick your 3 days for the year, because sex is just going to be 3 days this year. And that is how they've lived for 14 years. The guy one day was screaming and just had to talk to me. Right? And so you have people who are living in hell. So when you see certain things happen, don't listen to one side of the story. There are so many dimensions to the story, and I will share some of those stories with you as time permits us. So there are other forms of sexual perversion. There are people cheating with exhibitionism. Is a sexual perversion where somebody is in love with the briefs or the underwears of another gender, right? And so somebody can be cheating with somebody else's panties, and you are looking for a woman. So there is no chat. There is no phone calls, because there's no phone call to the parent. There is no, you know, and so you are thinking, oh, you know, what's going on in this relationship? Meanwhile, that person is already having an affair with something else. Some people having an affair with their work. Some people having an affair, you know, emotional affair with even their leaders and what have you, right? And so I love the way Jesus covers it, because his definition, I think, covers and encapsulates everything that says, he that looks at another human being, I will add, including a thing, lustfully, with a view to having sexual interaction, has already committed the act, right? And so based on this definition, if you are free from this definition, which means you are above this definition, you have never looked at another person lustfully, right? Then you are, we need to get mentoring from you. Because based on this definition, very few people can actually meet the standard of this definition. Right. And so quite a number of people are looking to catch somebody physically. But if you check the depth of their mind, in fact, I was addressing a group of pastors and pastors' wives. And I was saying to them that if God opens up the mind of your congregation, you will not know how many people are actually. So when you say people pray for God to do anything for you, you don't know how many people are praying that you die so that they can take your place. Right. Because the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, follow me, and I'll show you a few things. Now, of the 1,231 societies that were studied in Ethnographic Atlas in 1980, they found out that 186 were found to be monogamous. 453 has occasional polygyny, which is polygamous. 588 have more frequent polygamy. And 4 had polyandry. But recent studies have shown that there are more than 50 societies that practice polyandry. In fact, I know about 7 cultures in the world that I've researched that it is the women who have a right to marry more than one husband. In fact, there is one where the woman married like 3 men and the men have a time slot. So there is somebody who is the husband from 12 a.m. to 7 a.m. There's another person who is the husband from 8 a.m. to about 2 p.m. and the other person take over. And this culture, you know the interesting thing? They say that divorce is rare in those cultures. And these are real cultures happening. Now, if the children and the product of that culture come into mainstream society, right? Let's say they come to Christianity, for example. Meanwhile, the history, the tradition, the culture, the custom they've gotten accustomed to is that the modeling in front of them is that you have like three men who married my father, my mother, three men married my grandmother. Now they already developed a pattern. Now, when that person comes into Christianity or comes into a society that monogamy is promoted, and you now say, be faithful to one man. And so you find her in the relationship, leaning towards two other men, you know, and you say, oh, she's cheating. If you don't understand her history, you will not understand where this person is coming from. And so we observe matters from a narrow perspective. Now, if you check further, it says close to 3/4 of men and women, then 2/3 of women admit that they will sleep with someone else if it was guaranteed that they will never get caught, which means 74% of men and 68% of women admit they will cheat if it was guaranteed they would never get caught. Now, so it means that there are people who may actually cheat, but the only reason they are not cheating is that they are likely going to get caught. Now, over the past 20 years, the rate of infidelity among women increased by 40%. Right. Now, if you check this data, the question you should be asking yourself is, could there be something historical about adultery that we have not paid attention to? Right? Keep that at the back of your mind, because when I get to why people commit adultery, I will break this down a little bit further. Now, 43.7% of cheating women and 22% of cheating men have cheated on their spouses with someone they both know. So it means that adultery can be happening, but it's on your blind spot. So while you are looking for one woman that you don't know, the person, the culprit might be somebody very close to you, right? And so in counseling, we have figured that out and we've confirmed them consistently. 72.1% of cheated males cheated in a one-night stand, with only 53.1% of cheating women cheated by having one-night stand. And you can go on and on. Now, based on this data on this slide, could there be something in our blind spot, and there be underlying issues beyond stated data, right? Because if you check the reasons these people are giving as surface reasons, there are deeper reasons that we have not started talking about. And we are going to talk about it today. So I'm not going to rush. If we can't finish today, we'll continue next week. Right. Now, 54.5% of respondents went through breakup not long after admitting their infidelity to their spouse. Now, look at this. This is one of the reasons a lot of people do not own up or do not tell, because data supports that many people never recover once they own up. Right. So 54.4% of respondents went through breakup not long after admitting. 30% reported that they tried to stay together, but they still broke up eventually. Only 15.6% of respondents confirmed that they were still together with their partners or spouses at the time of the study. And this was a study of 2,000 people. Right. Now, the question here is, could unequal yoke have been responsible, or could this have been prevented with the right for you to understand something in premarital counseling? There are new psychometry that can reveal tendencies. Unfortunately, I'm glad my last trip to Nigeria, we worked with Lagos State Government. Now premarital counseling is made compulsory in Lagos. And all the curriculum they are using, I designed the curriculum, by the way. Now, in other societies beyond Lagos and Nigeria and beyond other African countries, you don't have the luxury of that. So when people are doing premarital, we just create a manual. We are not asking the right question, because there are psychometry that can show people's sexual preferences, sexual orientation, people's propensity to cheat, if we create a non-judgmental environment. Now, because we are judgmental in our approach and people don't want to lose positions or be ostracized, people are forced to lie about what they truly want. So what they truly want is not what they are talking about. They just want to do it so that they can tick the boxes and move on. Because consistently, you are finding out that people who prefer one spouses are getting married to people who want multiple people, right? And that is a major issue that we need to pay attention to. Now, I looked up top 12 countries with the highest infidelity rate in the world. as at 2022, based on World Population Review, right? In fact, when I looked at it, I was like, Nigeria cannot be there. But you can see Nigeria is sitting in top 10, you know. So we are, even though we are not at the same development as China and United States, but when it comes to infidelity, we rank high. Now, let me tell you something that should worry all of you listening to me. You see, if you think we are dealing with infidelity right now, what we are dealing with is introduction. The generation coming after us, and I charge you today, go online and go and check the content creation of African children on TikTok. I studied 100 videos on TikTok in the last 3 weeks. 100. 97 of those 100 are to do with, I want to fuck, I want to have sex, I want to do, I will shift your bed, I will do this and that. Every 97 out of 100 was sex in nature. I had to begin to ask is that, is there a funding for shooting sexually oriented skit? And guess what? If you check the views, you will find a minimum of 5,000 views, right? So, and when you now look for maybe a message or an inspirational session on TikTok, you will find 4 views, you will find 5 views. But once he has sex, and a lot, these young people, I'm asking, where are their parents? Who are their parents? Now, that generation don't even believe that there is more to sex than physical contact. In fact, there is a likelihood that their bestie in that generation is a sexual partner. So when somebody say, my bestie, you would think it's best friendship. But in that generation, is tougher and is deeper than what we're dealing with. Right. So if you check the top 5 reasons people have been tempted to cheat or have cheated on their spouses, they did a survey between US and European men. Right. If you check the US women, the number one thing is my partner stop paying attention to me. Now, somebody can say that's too mundane. How can you cheat because somebody starts paying attention to you? Now, when you understand the dynamics of love language and love code, you will understand that it's not as if this woman went out to say, I'm going to cheat. But when there is an emptiness, a void within her, and she didn't know how to handle it, and somebody else was filling that void, she will begin to give her body to retain the feeling of the presence of that person. And I'll give you a story I handled. There was a case I handled where the lady said her husband was cheating. Now, she was ready for divorce. Now, when I started working with the two of them, the guy said that I just did a historical analysis, which is what we do in therapy. We want to know what has happened in the past. And guess what we found out? I found out that this guy, when his mother was alive, his mother died when he was 9. His mother always slept beside him and would cuddle him to bed every night. From the time the mother died, nobody did that. So there was that void. At the age of 11, his auntie came home, you know, and the father said, oh, sleep on his bed. At night, the boy tried to cuddle the auntie, and the auntie stood up and shouted that the boy wanted to rape her, right? The father beat the boy and blah, blah. So he suppressed these things. Now, he got saved, and he started working in a telecoms company in Nigeria. He was a good-looking guy. Every time he dressed up, the girls at the customer service would talk about how good he was. And so they would hug him and blah, blah. So he started visiting them to receive a hug. Now he told me himself that, praise, I didn't go out to have sex. I felt something was missing. Of course, because we don't do grief therapy. So I understand what he's talking about because nobody did grief therapy when his mother died. Now, so he went back there and he continued to receive a hug. And after a while, the girls wanted more. So he began to give sex to receive a hug. Now, by the time I troubleshot the wife to say, what's going on? You know, and the wife actually told me that the role she had to play was that she never liked sex. So why did you marry? Why don't you like sex? Then we found out at the age of 12, she was raped. And so every time sex was going to happen, and now she had not gone through healing. She was born again. She had not gone through healing. Every time sex is about to happen, she remembers the rape. And she shuts down. Now, these are critical issues that we do not pay attention. But you can look at the two of them and say, oh, God, this guy is there, this and that. And by the time we did a healing process, the two of them are married and they're still doing well right now. So if you look at this data, you will see that the men, more like it's about attraction, it's about attention. For the women, it's more about somebody paying attention to them and things like that. So you can see the difference between American men and European men. Now, if you go ahead in this, And they ask the question, how did people meet the person with whom they cheated or were tempted to cheat? Right? You can see the friendship was number one. That people are most likely going to cheat with their closest friend than any other group. Right? Then followed by at work. Of course, you know that's proximity. So number one to two is talking about proximity. And that's why we say that unguided proximity will sometimes lead to immorality. Right? Then out and about in a bar. And you can go on and on and on and on. But I'll get to, you know, why do people, what are the causes of infidelity? Now, number one is what I found, and I call it cultural intimidation. Right? What does cultural intimidation mean? If you go to Nigeria today, there are three types of marriages in Nigeria. Number one is customary. Number two is civil. Number three is Sharia. Now, between those two, the only one that promotes one man, one woman is civil. In fact, even when it comes to civil, I know a state in Nigeria, and I won't mention the name of the state, that adultery or polygamy is not a crime, right? It's in their law, but the public is not aware. Because when that case, it was secretly sickening to nationals into their state assembly, and it was passed into law, and many of the people who are praying on, you know, are not aware that that was going on. Now, so if you take that to court, you may not even win, as it were. Now, but what is this saying? What this is saying is, and I mentioned it earlier on, that there may be people who wants to marry five wives, right? Can we give room for them to promote full disclosure so that when you are going to ask the lady out, you say to the lady, you know what? I am going to marry five wives. So will you still marry me? If the lady decides to marry, she knows what she's getting into. You know, I worked with a couple, with a polygamous, my first polygamous client before I left Nigeria. You know, it took me 2 years. There was so much fight, so much. But we were able to stabilize because we looked for the collective interest of everyone, right? And we were able to move that into a vision. And before you know it, somebody saying knows the state. Before you know it, we were able to stem the tide. Right. So it's a possibility. But can there be full disclosure? If you are a lady, you want to marry three husbands, you may want to give full disclosure to say, this is my leading. So, but what has happened is, I think with colonization and with the advent of maybe Christianity, because when I was growing up, actually, I grew up in the Anglican Church. And in the Anglican Church, when I was growing up, you could see the Baba Ijo with three wives. You could see the Balogun Ijo with four wives. And it was not a problem, right? My grandfather had like maybe 13 wives or something. In fact, my mom's family is one of the most united family that are found in the world. They are always doing things together. You won't know it's a polygamous home. But some don't have that experience. It's a bad experience for some people. So I have learned from observation and experience that sometimes it's the way it is handled that creates the problem. And now you're even having a lot of blended family systems, you know, where somebody who is dead marries another person and they're bringing their children, bringing all kinds of people into the situation. So full disclosure is lack of full disclosure because we have not created that environment. So if I said today that, you know, I want to do polygamy, so I want to go for customary marriage, people are like, no, 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 and say, you call yourself a born-again Christian. You know, so you are forcing that guy to suppress his desire, so he's going to pretend that he's monogamous, and so that you guys will leave him, but he's going to be doing things secretly. Let me say something to you that will shock you. So I was talking to a lawyer who prepares will, and he was talking, so I said to him, confidentially, can you tell me what you are a trend you are finding? And he said to me, he said, praise, the trend I am finding right now is that in some of the wills we are preparing, there is room for a second wife and a third wife that the first wife is not aware of, that is only going to be brought to fore when the man is dead. Right. So why are we deceiving ourselves and deceiving people? Why don't we allow people who want to do polygamy to do polygamy? And it's a pragmatic, you know, suggestion. I know people won't like it, but this is, I'm a very realistic person. It's better when you are upfront to say to a lady, you know, I'm going to marry five wives. So let her now take a decision that she wants to be with you or not, right? Than to say, you know, it's one man, we are both born again, one man, one woman, but you are everywhere. Number two is background patterns and wrong handling. Abuse, many people come into marriage and they have not healed. In fact, there is a model we call user's manual. User's manual is a document that states exactly who you truly are. In fact, it's shocking. A church invited us to come and do user's manual for all their couples. and we did this Jesus manual for couples who were married. Guess what? By the time we asked them to exchange it, many couples were shocked that they were discovering their spouses for the first time ever. Because your user's manual reveals who you are, it reveals your attributes, it reveals your leaning, it reveals your fantasies, it reveals your deal breakers, right? Many people didn't know that their spouses are deal breaker. If your spouse's deal breaker is that adultery, I will not forget, it's already there, right? It's already there, and you know, but you don't know. So you go and do it, and the person says, so that document, and that's one of the classes I'm doing next month that I'm hoping a lot of people can help clarify and heal, because it would show you your tendencies, it would show you your pain points, it will show you the areas you need to improve, and you will heal right there. Then you will now know, based on who you are, if you are still single, who you should never marry, who you should marry, and if you are married, you can literally share your user's manual with your spouses and say, this is me. This is how I recover from hurt. Because a lot of people are in trauma, but they are getting married. On wholesome people, we always look for something to fill the gap in their life. So that's why people smoke. That's why people drink. That's why, in fact, a lot of people who cheat, there is an emptiness. The same way somebody is smoking is the way they are using that to fill the emptiness that exists within. So some people are dealing with addiction. Sex addiction is an uncontrollable compulsive appetite for a sexual activity that keeps reoccurring. So you have people who come into marriage with sex addiction. The woman they want to marry knows that when we were dating, we were consistently having sex. But she believes, I mean, you know, when I watched the movie Anikulapo, and a lot of people were saying, you know, that guy is a useless guy. Why would he cheat on the person that, that helped him? And I ask a simple question, that you are asking an unfaithful person to be faithful to another unfaithful person, because the guy's story was all over. Somebody that is the guy, if I profile him in therapy, I can almost bet he's a guy who has developed a pattern for negotiating, using sex to negotiate for power. That is the tendency of that guy. So if I was the one doing the premarital, I would have flagged that almost immediately to say, you know what, this is the tendency of this guy. That's why when he was going to help the king, look at what he was negotiating for, the king's only daughter. So if the guy wants power at all costs, and that is his pattern. So to be expecting that guy, because you help him to be faithful, is all, in fact, we call that kind of marriage Tantis Romeo. In Tantis Romeo kind of marriage, is a kind of marriage where somebody else is, somebody who is vulnerable, uses the person who is at an advantage to gain power. And once he gets that power, he shows his true color. There is a way to profile those people and discover them even before you step into marriage. So background patterns and wrong handling. Many people have been wrongly handled. And many people are getting into marriage who are both unbelievers to themselves. Remember, we said unbeliever is someone who doesn't believe what you believe. Unbeliever doesn't mean it's bad. Somebody says, I believe in polygamy. Do you believe in polygamy? I believe in monogamy. Both of you are unbelievers to yourself. Let him find somebody who believes in polygamy. Why you look for somebody who believes in monogamy? Then the other thing we are finding out is that a lot of people are not getting married to the person they truly love, because there is something that disqualifies that person. So you find a lady who wants to get married to this guy. He loves the guy, but culture or tribe, and the parents say, you cannot marry this one, or even sometimes religion. Now, if what this happens, the guy marries another person who fits the description the parents want, yet still friends with the person they truly love. Now, that person is not happy in their marriage. He is not happy in the marriage. They are still meeting. Before you know it, things begin to happen. Number three is modeling. Modeling talks about association, observation, and friendship. I mean, I know a lot of people in therapy who said to me, praise, I never even thought of cheating until I found out that my leader was, you know, everywhere, you know, and they mentioned this leader, that leader, that leader, that leader, you know, and I felt, okay, there must be something here, provided you don't get caught. So modeling is another reason. Number four is trauma and pressure. Now, when we say to a woman in Africa, because now they are talking about DNA, and they are saying, they are discovering that many people go for DNA, it's been found out that the child they think is their child is not their child. Now, and so what we try to do is we blame the women. We tried to say she's a cheat. She's a useless woman. But we forget the pressure the mother-in-laws and the family subject that woman to. One of the things I don't like in Christianity is when we want to pray for people believing God for the fruit of the womb. We bring the women out. Are they going to impregnate themselves? Why are the men not coming out with them? Is it, in fact, in some cases, it's not the woman that is barren. It's the man that is sterile. Mm. Well, the sterile person sits in the auditorium. We now say she's a barren woman. Now, because we have also said that, you know, a child is a cloth that covers you. That's the philosophy of the Yoruba race when it comes to a child, right? Mm. So if you say a child is a cloth that covers you, it means women who have no child are naked. So a lot of women, if I put myself in their position, they will do everything and anything to have a child, whether through cook or nail, right? And when you find that out, you will now say they cheated. But we don't consider the pressure we put them through. You know what it means for them to go for meetings and everybody can say, my mommy, and you say, they even try to play with some people's children and say, please leave my child. Do you know what they go through, right? So pressure and trauma. People are searching for meaning. People are searching for relevance. Quest to avenge, you know, pain by their spouses. I know some women in therapy who had to say to me that, praise, you know, my husband was sick. He was going to die. And I needed to pay hospital bills. I couldn't. The person who offered to pay was asking for sex. I had to do it. Now, how do I tell that man that? Now, what you don't know is that that woman literally died for the other person to leave. Right? But we'll classify that and we'll say we can't forgive that as well. Number five is coping mechanism. I work with a lady who, step out of marriage to sleep with someone else. Now, this lady, the first thing I do for my clients is to run an assessment. When I ran a personality assessment, she belonged to that personality that it's very rare for them to cheat. They usually will not cheat. We call them systematic faults. Systematic faults are perfectionists. They can't even share their body with someone else normally. So even in marriage, for them to open their body for their husband is a problem. So I was shocked. I said, this is unlike you. What exactly is going on here? Then I asked a question. Were you depressed at the point this happened? You said, praise, I was actually going to commit suicide the day this thing happened. Right? That I didn't even know the guy. I just met him. I was going to kill myself. And meanwhile, she was going to kill herself. Her husband was not aware. So she met the guy. The guy talked her out of it and blah, 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 blah. And she started crying and one thing led to the other. They had sex. And she said, praise, it never repeated itself. You know, but so somebody's going to look at that and say, stone her. But you know what I found out? I asked her, what did that do to you when you did it? She said, praise, when I did it, even though it may be wrong, said I had another reason to leave. I was shocked. Because sometimes in therapy, I'm also learning new things. And I said, really? And I have no reason to doubt her. Now, somebody who sits on the high horses may not believe this, but these are the stories I am finding. So coping mechanism, depression, pain, sexual, some people, it's because of sexual dissatisfaction. In